Let's pray, and then we'll look at God's word. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the day, and we certainly want to thank you for the freedom that we do have in our land. Thank you for those men that were willing, men and women that were willing to put their lives on the line for that. Thank you for the reminder this morning in Sunday school how our wonderful Savior put his life on the line and gave it up for our freedom as well, that we can be free from the judgment of sin, free from the power of sin. And Lord, we certainly look forward to that day when our salvation is complete, when we are free from the presence of sin. Yet until that day, Lord, we pray that we would not be deceived in thinking that we can't have victory over sin and the temptations in our life. And as we stop and consider that this morning, that, Lord, you may be the one who illuminates and teaches. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the sad realities of living in a sin-cursed world where everything is falling apart slowly, our earth is falling apart, and if you're a little bit on the older side, like past 20, you will be realizing that your body is starting to fall apart as well, all right? That is a reality of living in this sin-cursed world. We do get some that just come because of the life that we live or the world we live in, and some of these things come from our genetics as well, from our family, passed down from us. You get some good things from your parents, but you predominantly get bad things, I suspect. Well, they're the ones that you seem to think of the most. You might have some bad knees. I always think of my father when I walk around, hobble around with my bad knees, because that's what he was like. You might have bad hips. You might have, I won't go through the list. One of the scariest, though, would be that genetic defect of that you can get with a physical heart. You might have a hole in your heart or a dodgy valve or something like that. Some are born with some more serious defects than others. Dodgy knees are bad, but it's not life-threatening. But there are other problems that we can inherit in many ways that can be life-threatening or certainly take away our standard of living. And it's also true to say that because we're the descendants of Adam and Eve who sinned, we are all born with a certain heart condition that is a serious problem. And it's something that we can't avoid. We're all born with it. It's inherited from Adam and Eve. And the best thing that we can do to prevent this heart's problem from causing true problems in our life is certainly to be aware of it and then guard ourselves against it. And to see one of the heart conditions that is a serious one for us, it's found in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. You can turn there, but most of you probably know the verse that I'm talking about. And this is where we get the title of the message that I couldn't put here for when Joanna was asking, The Great Deceiver, The Great Deceiver. But we see there in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Do you think you know your heart? Do you think you've worked out if you control it or not, or if it's deceiving you or not? Well, please be understand that what God says here, who can know the heart? When you think you've worked out your heart and you're not deceived or you won't get deceived by it, is a very scary day. You need to understand that you have a very deceitful heart, it says here. That is the scariest heart defect a person could have. Far scarier than a faulty valve or a hole in your heart, or you can talk to Mr. Phillips about any other heart problems that you might be able to get, but this is the scariest of all, because even though when you're saved, the heart is cleansed from our sin and we're certainly given a new nature, there is still what we call the flesh that is still alive and kicking in each person, saved and unsaved. Our flesh includes our body parts, you know, our eyes, our ears, our arms, our legs, also our brain, and with our brain comes memories and thought patterns and addictions. And our body has been corrupted by sin, and this flesh is a constant source of temptation, a constant source of trouble. And it can be a burden to everybody, and I'm sure you would agree that at times it feels like an overwhelming burden. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Isn't it true you can have a desire to do what's right and obey the Lord? And then you see something or hear something or you're reminded of something and then your heart changes and all of a sudden you have evil desires instead. It happens in an instant. You know, one moment your mind can have godly nice thoughts and then the next moment you can have evil wicked thoughts. Our sin-ridden flesh can give us, or does give us continuous trouble every day of our life. And that's where our deceitful heart can be a very big danger. Because it tries to trick us into believing that the evil fleshly desires that we do have are good. And there's actually nothing wrong with it. See, as we read there in Jeremiah 17:9, it says the heart is deceitful. You know, the word deceitful, if you just aren't aware, it just simply means to lie or to trick, or to be a fraudster. It means to say that something is good when it isn't, to convince people to believe a lie. That's what our heart does. And I find that really scary. If you don't, I certainly do. One reason why I find it scary is because when we think of a deceiver, we generally think of Satan, don't we? You know, as the title says, the great deceiver. If I was to say, we're going to look at the great deceiver this morning, I suspect you would think, Satan, oh, he's a deceiver. And we know that he deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden, where he told her outright lies. He said, you won't die if you eat of the fruit, which was a lie. He says that this eating of this fruit will make you wise. This will be a good thing if you take of this, which was a lie. Satan deceived Eve and tricked her into disobeying. And he's constantly trying to do that with each one of us. He will tell you, he will tell me, that the way that the unsaved, your friends that you may come into contact with, he will be saying to you that their way is better than God's way. He will be telling you that life without God is easier. He will tell you if you're married that giving up your family is worth it for just a moment's pleasure somewhere else. He will tell you those things. He tries to deceive us, thinking that certain things that are evil aren't so evil. Yet the scary thing I read when I read this verse here about our heart is, it says the heart is deceitful above all things. Now that's scary. Although Satan is a deceiver, and although Satan is very good at deceiving us, this verse tells us that there is something even more deceitful than Satan himself, and that's our own heart. Now, if that doesn't scare you, it should. The heart is deceitful above all things. Satan may be a liar, yet we should watch out, and we should watch out for his tricks, but we should be even more cautious of our heart. Problem is, with our heart, we can't escape it, can we? If you escape it, you're in trouble too. But that heart, that flesh, that sinful flesh, and that deceptiveness, we cannot escape. And we may have an enemy called Satan who is real, but the greatest enemy is that deceitful heart. Because it'll try and deceive us that things that are wrong are not wrong. That evil things are good. The unsaved, we can see, have been deceived like this. You know, they are convinced, and you hear it everywhere, even on the news, it's okay to go out and get yourself drunk as long as you don't hurt anyone. They're deceived, thinking that's okay. You know, they will have been deceived into thinking it's okay to live in a de facto relationship and try out first. They think they've been deceived into thinking that's a better way than God's way. And we know the deception has grown these days to the point where the world and the heart convinces oneself that even same-sex relationships are fine, even fine in the sight of God. There is a deceiving attitude out there, and it comes from the heart. Yet the sad thing is that deceptive heart isn't just a problem for the unsaved. It can also, and often is, a problem for the saved as well. And we need to be aware of it. That our greatest enemy, the greatest deceiver, lies within us. And unless we're constantly renewing our mind, and unless we're in God's Word and letting the Holy Spirit minister to us and remind us of His ways, we will slowly be deceived by our very own heart. You know, there's two things I want to just bring out today in regards to our heart and how it deceives. The first lie of the heart is it tries to get us to believe that sin isn't very dangerous. Have you been tricked by your own heart in this way? That we can have a taste of sin and there's no harm in doing that. You can taste sin and get away with it. You know, the heart will tell us once off taste or a couple of tastes won't hurt. Yet it doesn't tell you that once you start to get a taste of something that is sinful, the sinful flesh is drawn that direction and it is very hard to stop. Our heart will tell us just a few looks won't hurt. Just going to that place a few times won't hurt. Hanging around these type of crowds a little bit won't hurt. Just a few tastes, just a few tries. But once our sinful flesh gets a taste of something, then it gets very hard to break. You know, anyone with an addiction will be able to tell you that. Anyone who has an addiction to alcohol or drugs, or pornography, or gambling, or whatever it may be, that these people that have an addiction to something will tell you how it is so hard to break, and it all starts being deceived by your own heart that you can have just a little taste and it won't hurt. And brethren, if you find yourself thinking this, can I encourage you or remind you that that is not the Holy Spirit telling you those things? The Holy Spirit will never say, hey, you can just have a little taste of the sin, that's okay. The Holy Spirit says to flee sinful lusts. The Holy Spirit says to touch not the unclean thing. The Holy Spirit says don't even speak and jest about evil things. That's what the Holy Spirit says. And so if you have this desire or thought pattern that it's okay for a little bit, you can be sure that's not the Holy Spirit. That's your deceitful heart. But our heart, I have discovered, and I'm sure you have as well, is once we start to believe a lie, it gets even bolder. It seems that when a person believes a lie, they're more inclined to believe an even bigger lie. And you see this with evolution. you know, they believe the lie of evolution. And then there's just ridiculous things to try and explain evolution, and they just take it. They just swallow every lie that's given. Where did something come from? You know, where did the Big Bang come from? It came from nowhere, right? And people just believe that. But they won't believe there's an eternal God. And once our heart has deceived us into satisfying our sinful flesh, it will then try and deceive us into thinking that what we are enjoying isn't actually bad at all. It will deceive us that there's nothing wrong with what we're doing. And many Christians are deceived in this way. Their flesh pines for something. They are deceived that they can enjoy it for a little bit and it won't hurt. And then once their flesh continues to pine, their heart deceives them, it's not that bad after all. In fact, it's probably not even wrong. And they do that to ease their conscience, and they are deceived. You know, they don't go to the Word of God to find the truth. They don't honestly want to know if something is wrong or not. They don't want to ask advice from someone that they probably know will give them the answer they don't want to hear. They won't accept anything but what their heart tells them. And they deceive themselves, convincing that something that is wrong is right. You know, God has something to say about these sort of people. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 5, would you please? In Isaiah chapter 5, we're told what God says about this type of attitude. And sadly, you'd think, oh, this is just for the unsaved. But it's becoming for the church as well. It says there in verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." Woe. You might think, oh, what's so bad about that? Woe is the judgment of God. If you want to do a little Bible study for yourself, look at whenever the word woe is used and see the outcome that that woe was given to those people and see what happened to them. There is judgment. There is corruption. And God says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And you'd like to think, oh, that's just the world that does that. But the reality is there are too many churches, there are too many just believers that take something that is wrong in the sight of God and they say it's okay because their heart has deceived them. And you know, I can say this because I know I have grown up with friends who would go out and get themselves drunk on a Friday night, a Saturday night, and then they'd go and teach Sunday school in the morning in independent Baptist churches. You know, you go to church and you have ladies that are wearing the skimpiest clothing, yet they say it's okay. What is modest? They go off and live with people and they are convinced it's okay. Where you go to a Christian, say what you're doing is wrong, and they're convinced, I have a peace in my heart about it. God doesn't mind me living with this person. That happens. They ignore the pricking of the heart by the Holy Spirit and they deceive themselves that what they're doing is fine. And you know, sadly, that has been the reality of God's people from Adam and Eve throughout Israel and throughout the church history. You know, just as a little reminder, would you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11? Deuteronomy chapter 11. This is when God is speaking to his people before they go into the promised land. It says there in verse 13, And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Now, doesn't it make sense to do what God says when he promises all these things? Yet he gives the warning in verse 16, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived. And you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, that the land yield not her fruit, and lest you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. And so God made it very clear that there are blessings or judgment depending on if they obey him or they allow their heart to be deceived. And the sad thing is, we understand that they were deceived and they did go off and they worshipped false gods and committed sinful practices. But what is even sadder is when God, out of his goodness, went to warn them that judgment is coming unless there is repentance, and we know that he sent the prophets to warn them and to tell them to repent and change their ways, they rejected what they had to say. And in many ways, it wasn't because, well, I don't really know in their heart, but it appears that it's not that, oh, we're doing the wrong thing, but we don't want to change. They had been deceived to the point where we are doing nothing wrong, so why should we change? They got to the point of being deceived that what are these prophets talking about? This is ridiculous. We are doing nothing wrong. As it says in other parts of Scripture, they did that which was right in their own eyes. They were convinced that what they were doing was right. And there was no need to change. You know, they had truly been deceived. And brethren, that is a picture of the church today. People go and say, hey, why have you changed? Why are you living this way? Can't you see in the days of old when people had a soft heart, they saw that this was wrong, and now you've changed completely and you're acting in a completely different way. And when they hear that, they get offended. Why are you saying that to me? There's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. And most times it's because their heart's been deceived. Would you please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, would you? You know, this is what Paul's advice was and what he did. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. Verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What we see here is, I just plucked that verse out, but what we understand here is Paul didn't want to just say things that came about from his own wisdom or what he was thinking. He wanted to speak the things of God. Now, we know he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that certainly helped. But he was comparing spiritual things with spiritual to come to that conclusion as well. Comparing what God had said in the past and what he has said in the present and what he has said in the future. This is how he distinguished if something was right or wrong. And this is the only way to safeguard yourself against a deceitful heart. Otherwise, you are going to sit there and be convinced that what you're doing is fine. You may even find a little verse that might say something that might back up your argument, but in reality you may be very deceived. You need to look at the scriptures and see. It's not enough to just say, show me in the Bible where it's wrong. In many ways, you should be saying, looking and saying, well, let me see from the Bible if it's right. Because there are a lot of things in God's Word, or things in the world today, that God doesn't speak about. And so you can't turn there and say, see, it's wrong, but prove that it's right. That this was an acceptable thing for the people of God or not. And if it isn't, you can't find it, then maybe you need to also go to godly advice and seek wisdom from others, because the last thing you want to do is just listen to your own heart. Because that is deceitful. I think it's a little phrase, let your heart guide you. That is not a good, I don't know where that comes from, but it's not a good one. You're letting your heart guide you, you will be deceived. If you find yourself saying, well, I think this is okay, that's a scary thing too. But if you can say, based on God's word, I am convinced this is fine, then that's a smart place to be. You know, we need to check our motives and compare it to God's word. Check our actions and our attitudes. If they differ from God's word, or God's word doesn't show us that it's right, we need to have a serious think about it. Because one, our heart will deceive us first, that it's okay to have a little bit of sin and it won't hurt. And then when it's convinced us of that, it will deceive us into saying that it's not that bad after all. I wonder, is there something that you do, have been doing, and you know there's a pricking in the heart, maybe it was at the beginning, maybe it's still there, but you have persisted convincing yourself it's okay to the point where you never feel the pricking anymore, and then now you're convinced it's okay? Well, I would just pray that you would ask the Lord to search your heart and see if there is any wrongdoing. Prick my heart again if it's wrong. Convince me that it's wrong, dear Lord, or show me from your scripture that it's right. Because, brethren, we can be so caught up with what the devil's doing in this world, and we neglect the greatest enemy that we have, and that is our deceitful heart. And when we end up listening to the heart, our sinful heart, Proverbs 14:12 gives us the answer of what happens. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let's not be ignorant of the enemy within. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your word. What a scary life it would be to try and work out if something is good or evil, if something is safe or dangerous based on our own thinking. Forgive us when we push aside your word and beseeching you and your wisdom and going alone thinking we know what's best. I pray that each one of us will have a passion to do what is right in your sight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.